Okay, and welcome back. To first hear my next guest put forth his research. Now, most people say, can't be. It's not possible. It's too big of a secret to keep a secret. You know how it is, people talk. Well, it's out there. It's not really hidden. In a way, it is, but it's totally available. And Walter Burian has spent years now trying to educate the American public about the true wealth of this country, and more properly, I think, the true wealth of the American public, which through its city and county and state governments owns more wealth than you could imagine. And it's all filed every year with the feds in reports called Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports. And Walt is back with us tonight. Hi, Walter, how are you?
Good evening, Jeff. It's good to be back again.
Thank you. I'm glad that you're still out there doing what only you do and doing it so well. I don't know what kind of progress we've made since you started this. I think the first time you were on the program, it had to be...
It's been 7 years. It's been 7 years now, 2000.
Yeah, it's been a while. And have you made any progress?
You shouldn't have to ask that, Jeff.
Sorry, yes, I withdraw the question.
put it this way. We started with national disclosure in, it was June 8th of 98.
Right.
I started with about 130 radio programs in about 4 months. Reached about 20 million people. Now, if in 1998, if you ask somebody, do you think Walter will be able to get the word out on the Comprehensive Annual Finance Report, which was held secret for 65 years, they would have said, not a chance, never happened. 8 years later, we now, if you do a Google search on CAFR, C-A-F-R, you'll get between 3.5 to 4.5 million hits. When I started National Disclosure, I got about 14, 16 obscure hits with nothing that could you could distinguish as to what the CAFR was. So, effectively, in about a seven-year period, we broke the ice regarding disclosing the biggest game in town.
Right.
That government was operating under. So, yes, we've made progress.
Good. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Now, with so many of our city, county, state governments claiming bankruptcy, I think what we need to do is, again, every time we do these programs, we have to bring everyone along at the same speed. We don't want to leave any newcomers behind. So let's tell them what the game is.
Well, let's refer them to an article that they can search your website, rents.com, and pick up, regarding what is a surplus. You remember that article?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I had thousands of calls from people saying, Walter, you know, what's a surplus? Can you identify them? You know, how do we know they have a surplus? They're always saying they're in debt and in deficit. I said, okay, let's make this real simple. Surplus, sure plus. If you break down the word into two words, The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had 1 million slaves. Did they have a surplus of slaves? No, they could always used 1 million or two more.
Mm-hmm.
The drug addict is a dealer in heroin. He has 52 kilos of heroin. Does he have a surplus of heroin? No, his orders call for 55 kilos. The wino on the street corner. He has two bottles of Ripple. Does he have a surplus of Ripple? No, he's going to drink two more tomorrow night. The aspect of within government, they've been expanding each and every year at an unprecedented level, and they've done so for the last 40 years. If you look back to 1965, after accounting for inflation and population increase, government has grown by about 300 or 400% over after accounting for population increase and inflation. It's a runaway freight train. The reason being, as they expanded, they could take in more and more money. As they increased their employee base, one thing most people don't realize is that, you know, a government employee, say, getting $30,000-$35,000 a year, at retirement, they may be getting $50,000 a year. And for the state or the city or the county, for each employee, they have pension funds, which are, you know, actuarially projected, you know, for the total balance of money is needed to, on that money at the rate of return, equal what the salary and benefits would be for the employee at retirement. And they're strictly participatory. So if they bring in an employee that, say, at retirement would make about $50,000, in salary and plus another say $10,000 in benefits. They stash away about $3 million per employee in the pensions. And multiply that by 10,000 or 15 or 100,000 employees. By doing so, that gives them money to invest. Who get the who gets those investments? And, you know, what elbows are rubbed will, you know, create a situation for people to become extremely wealthy.
Right.
And as they expanded their programs, they would also create different investment pools, self-insurance funds, bond liability accounts.
All kinds of things, yeah. Right.
Any way possible to stash away money where it could be invested, they did. And people kept saying, well, where's all the money at? What accounts are they in? And, you know, are they taking the money? I said, no, there's not one account. There's tens of thousands of different accounts. It's the principle of operation. And it's not they're taking the money directly from these funds. It's who gets the investment from that fund. Say, for example, you and I were congressmen, Jeff.
God forbid.
And, well, let's make it senators or county board or supervisors or city attorneys.
All right.
Or two judges.
No. Anything but that.
Okay. Bite my tongue. So, we want to build a condominium complex in Sydney, Australia. We need $45 million. We approach one of the hundreds of different investment managers within city, county, or state government. We say, well, we need $45 million. Do you think you can loan it to us from your fund that you manage? And he goes, well, you're going to have to prepare a prospectus, cover point A to Z. You're going to have to offer us the correct rate of return. We're accepting now, which, by the way, is 2.45%. And, by the way, here's three prospectuses we approved last year along the same lines of what you're doing. So he gives us the blueprint. We draft our prospectus. And, in fact, we incorporate a company called New Zealand Coastal Properties, Inc. We list our two accountants as the CEO and treasurer of the company, and we keep our name off of it. We get our $45 million investment from the fund, build our condominium complex on the beach in Sydney, Australia, which, by the way, generates us about $8 million a year. And we pay back the fund $3.5-4 million a year. So we've just guaranteed ourselves being in the Millionaire Boys Retirement Club. Deals like that are cut 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And with the gross income and investments that government is holding right now, everybody has their hands in the pocket.
They do. It's quite a sight. Hang on, be right back with Walter Burian in just a couple minutes as we continue updating you on the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, the CAFRs, filed by law every year. Does your city or county government have one on file? You bet. And with a little diligence, you can find it online and find out how much your city or county government actually owns. Prepare to be amazed. Be right back. Okay, and we're back. And the man said it all himself, didn't he? He is a man. Okay, we're talking with Walter Burian about the CAFRs, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, within which you can find all the loot. Go ahead, Walt.
All righty, Jeff. Let's qualify the what the CAFR is for the people that have not heard of it before. In 1946... a group called GFOA, Government Financial Officers Association, nice little catchy tune, sounded like a government agency, but made up of private individuals, bankers, industrialists, judges, lawyers, who were planning on taking government from a pay-as-you-go structure to an administrative clearinghouse for revenue collection and for profit. To do so, they suggested that government go under the exact same accounting structure as a corporation would, or in other words, have an annual financial report. Just like IBM, AT&T, Xerox, Microsoft, they put out an annual financial report each and every year. It's required by SEC law, Securities and Exchange Commission law, that they provide it to every single shareholder. If you have one share or 10 million shares, it's mandatory you get their annual financial report. Well, in 1946, GFOA started promoting this to local governments. And what they did was, when they went on the annual financial reporting accounting structure, anything that was a profit center or had the ability to make a profit, any investment fund that would end up generating billions of dollars a year, they moved into the annual financial reporting accounting structure.
Mm-hmm.
What they gave to the public was selectively created budget reports that were excluding the investments and the profit centers. So the budget report would primarily contain the expense side of services of government, and the annual financial report would have what was on the budget plus all of the enterprise operations, investment funds, and so forth. A good analogy I thought of recently, you're familiar with the Bible, correct?
I've heard of it once or twice, yeah.
Okay, well, picture if the priest went and just cut out maybe four or five chapters of the Bible, bounded it, put it on the pews, and said, okay, this is the Bible. Well, people would pick it up, read the four or five chapters, and say, I've read the Bible. But the annual financial report is actually the whole book with all of the chapters. And so as the different state agencies and cities and counties started going on the annual financial reporting and accounting structure, all of a sudden, here they were with their budgets collecting tax revenue to satisfy their budgets as they were funneling money over into the profit side, the enterprise operations, and the investment funds, stripping the budgets of their operating funds to say, we have a shortfall, we need a tax increase. And so we're making a profit, as shown on their annual financial report. A good analogy would be is if you got a $35,000 a year budget for your house, you apply $35,000, you spend $35,000. If you spend $36,000 this year, you'd have a $1,000 deficit on your budget. If you spend $34,000, you'd have a $1,000 surplus on your budget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you actually made on your salary $150,000 a year, you had two or three extra projects on the side which generated another $400,000 a year, and you had been investing for the last 25 years and did quite well, and you had $3.5 million in investment funds that generated another $400,000 a year, to exclusively talk about your $35,000 budget would be very misrepresentative. That is what government started doing in 46.
Mm-hmm.
It blossomed.
You mean they lied?
Well, the old silence is golden routine.
Well, that's called the lie of omission. When you don't say something, it's lying nonetheless.
Now, if a public corporation like AT&T or Microsoft held back their annual financial report and just promoted selectively created budget reports to their shareholders,
right,
so they could pay lower dividends and have a lower stock value so they could buy back up all their stock, well, then all the directors involved would be sitting in San Quentin after about a 40-count SEC indictment. Totally illegal. Government did the exact same thing by enacting statutes under the table, so to say, to do what they were doing. That's why at a return to the page you'll find a law firm in the middle of it. But, you know, this grew and prospered. Manhattan was one of the first big entities to do a annual financial report. They did theirs in 1951. By 1977, 40, 45, 50% of the local governments were doing annual financial reports. And GFOA requested of the feds to make it mandatory for all local governments to complete an annual financial report to consolidate accounting for the entire country. So in 77-78, the feds mandated that all local governments had to prepare a comprehensive annual financial report, or in the alternative, a cash statement if they were, say, under $500,000 a year, which would be very, very small.
Right.
So the majority were required to do an annual financial report. As I mentioned, government put one extra word at the beginning to make a comprehensive annual financial report, or the acronym CAFR. So, to be able to hold back disclosure of your annual financial report from an entire nation for over 65 years required the full cooperation of the syndicated media, controlled education, and both political parties. Not to mention, not a peep, not a word. So, the annual financial reports were sent to the syndicated media.
Mm-hmm.
ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, all of the directors and CEOs got copies. The deans of all of the colleges got copies. They produced their own annual financial report each year, the universities and the school districts. Both political parties got copies. All the elected officials got copies for the last 25, 35 years. The only one who was excluded was the entire population of the United States. And I find it absolutely amazing that they pulled it off, but you have to look at the money involved. I'll give you an example of Arizona. It's a good example. If you go back to 1973, the state's annual financial report showed a budget, service budget, of $1.8 billion and total cash gross receipts of $2.1 billion. So they had about a $300 million difference between their budget and the total cash gross receipts. Jump ahead to the year 2000. The state of Arizona was promoting a $14.5 billion operating budget. Guess how much the gross receipts were at that time? Take a guess.
God, couldn't. These figures
$34 billion.
$34 billion?
A mere $20 billion over their $14.5 billion operating budget.
Yeah, I wouldn't have come close. This whole thing is so incredible. Just incredible.
No, it's not. If a street punk will try to cut your throat for $500
gold
necklace.
Well, I get the picture. Believe me, I have for years. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's so incredible because nobody knows about it. And, it's money. You don't have to look at anything complicit. It's all money, right.
Big money. I mean, it's the biggest money on the face of the planet. It's the biggest game in town. And that's how they got the full cooperation of the syndicated media, controlled education, and both political parties due to the money involved. You know, it's not the Joe Sixpack crowd betting $5 on Dallas. These are some of the sharpest crackers on the face of the planet that are ruthless. And they have the best psychologists, marketing strategists, research, and analytical reports backed by unlimited budgets of trillions of dollars. The public never stood a chance as these people grew and blossomed into their corporate empire within government.
Right.
The key point I always keep bringing up, you know, the United States has the highest crime rate, the biggest divorce rate, drug problems. You have to look, when it comes down to crime, breakup of the family, and drug addiction, how much money is that generating for your city, your county, and your state? It's billions and billions of dollars a year. Nationally, it's a $1 trillion-a-year marketplace. If all of a sudden crime, breakup of the family, drug addiction drop down through the floor to nothing, there goes a $1 trillion-a-year marketplace.
That's right.
They're micromanaging their own levels of crime, breakup of the family, and drug addiction in this country to maintain that $1 trillion-a-year income. I mean, they're laughing all the way down to the bank, and they have been for the last 45 years.
It's just good business, Walt. That's all it is.
Well, let's get down to the real important point. The takeover by government of the country on the expansion of the pension funds, special investment funds, and so forth are being set up on the tune of thousands and thousands of different accounts. Keep in mind there's 84,000-plus local governments, corporations. Every city's a corporation, county's a corporation, state's a corporation, school district's a corporation, enterprise authority's a corporation, 84,000, each with their own report, each with their own investments, each with their own assets, separate from each other.
Got it.
The composite total of governments.
Okay, sit down for this, folks.
Liquid investment assets.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is a conservative figure. It's about $60 trillion.
That's... jeez.
Now, when you hear on the news, everybody goes, what? I hear my state's in debt, my city's in debt, my... They're talking about their debt under their budget report. You remember what I mentioned about if you had a $35,000 budget and you spent $36,000 this year?
Yep, sure.
On your budget? You have a deficit of $1,000 if you spent $36,000. If you spent $38,000, you'd have a $3,000 deficit. Now, when your gross income is, you know, well over $1 million, you're not in a deficit situation as far as the picture looks,
right.
The whole picture.
Right.
And that's the big game that's been played.
Shysters.
But,
chicanery. Fraud.
Well, outside of
deception.
Fraud, chicanery, and everything else, the real serious point is they took over the marketplace. They took over the insurance industry, real estate, ownership. If you look at the market, I have Microsoft spotlighted. 83% of Microsoft is owned by composite government funds. The Fortune 500 companies, usually 65, 70, 75% owned by composite government funds. The private sector is inconsequential at this point in time.
Wow. All right, hold on. Every time I hear this from Walter, I'm still amazed. Back in just a couple minutes as we continue our conversation on $60 trillion, conservatively, of hidden wealth that we own in this country.
And it's out there in the open, Jeff.
It is, but we are forbidden from accessing it, at least so far. We'll be back. Okay, back with our conversation. Walter Burian is here. Walt has been fighting the CAFR battle for a long time now. How long? 11 years? 12 years?
I started with National Disclosure in June of 98.
Now 10 years. Okay, what we're talking about here is an aggregate wealth that you and I own in this country. The public owns about $60 trillion worth. Can we get to it? No, not easily, if at all. Try to challenge them and see how far you get. I did in the state I'm in, and I got, it was quite amusing. Went to the state senator and said, Senator, we're sitting on over $12 billion of net liquid assets. What do we do about these assets? How do we get them? Senator wouldn't even answer me. Had some low-level, bottom-of-the-barrel functionary on his staff sent me a form letter, basically, well, a red letter form letter, saying, sorry, but the state constitution forbids us from accessing these funds. They are untouchable. They are off limits. They are secure, or some such. And it was just a joke. And the story is the same throughout all 50 states and county and city governments.
You've heard of the expression of letting the foxes write the laws and how many chickens the foxes can eat from the hen house, correct?
Right.
That's exactly what they've done. To qualify, I'm sure you have a few internet people out there that listen to your show, correct, Jeff?
We have a lot of them.
Okay. First thing I'd like to recommend, if they go to my website, CAFR1.com, C-A-F-R-1.com, the acronyms for Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, 1.com. On the front, they'll see a link to download the New York State Retirement Fund CAFR list of investments. Do so. It's a PDF file. And take a look at the general holdings of just one comprehensive annual financial report. It's a large one, you know, but it gives a representative showing of the stocks internationally held, the real estate ventures, domestic and internationally held, the loans, bond holdings held. So it gives a pretty good idea. It gives you a pretty good idea of the scope and the size. And when you get down a list of thousands of stock holdings, you know, take a look at the number one profit makers. You'll notice the war industry groups, the oil companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the banks, the four primary profit makers, 300-400%. You'll see Microsoft Corporation. 44 million shares. That's just one CAFR. That's, if you look at the thousands and thousands of CAFRs in the investment cells, stock holdings, that's where you come up with composite totals for Microsoft of 83% of the entire stock is owned by composite government. You'll start, you'll see ExxonMobil, $1.5 billion worth. It's pretty clear that government has taken over the stock market. Just by looking at that one report, keep in mind there's thousands. So when the composite totals are added up, it's mind-boggling as to the scope of the takeover. The management of these different individual funds, there may be several hundred, you know, or thousand managers, but there's probably a group of 200 that oversee 80% of the funds. They all, and then maybe a top 20, you know, or 15 that kind of give advice to those 200. So they're all subscribing to the same newsletter. They all are part of the same club. And they determine which way the market's going to go daily by moving.
Well, it went up over 100 points, 100 points plus, 130 points today, I think, something like that.
Yeah. And people keep telling me, well, the stock market's so overvalued, I can't see how it can keep holding up here. And I said, listen, when government owns the entire cookie jar, if you own the cookie jar, you determine the price of the cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Period. End of story. It's the biggest monopoly on the face of the planet.
Right.
And the U.S. composite government funds have been taking over other countries. this is international. When you hear the expression, the New World Order, what most people don't realize is our government is the New World Order. You know, it's he who controls gold makes the rule. Government from the United States has taken over the investment arena internationally. China, last month, cut off the United States investment funds, you know, government investment funds from the U.S. into China. That day when the stock market collapsed by 650 points here.
Right.
That was due to the fact that China said, you know, we had moved in about $1.5 trillion, $2 trillion into China back in 2000. And that money now is probably valued at about $6 trillion. You keep hearing about the trade deficit and how China's holding $1 trillion, $2 trillion of dollars, and they could collapse the United States. And, you know, that's, you know, bullpucky. If the United States pulled their investments out of China, it would be collapsing the Chinese government. And the Chinese government was saying, hey, the United States is getting too much control in our country, and they put a stop to any further investments from government, U.S. government investments into China. That's what happened that day. India also did the same thing to curtail U.S. government investments in India. You hear about outsourcing in this country. People have been complaining about outsourcing. Government, our own government, is the one that was recommending the outsourcing and pushing the Fortune 500 companies to outsource. Mm-hmm. Because government owns those Fortune 500 companies through stock ownership. And by owning the majority of the stock, by proxy, they can direct that company to do what they want. And if these companies move to Asia, Mexico, the Soviet bloc countries, where they can get much cheaper labor, then the profits on their stocks are going to go shooting through the roof, which government owns. So their portfolios would benefit. To give you an idea of the scope of how that game is played, when government had gone under the annual financial reporting and accounting structure, and this big massive equity pool was building up outside of the budget report, they decided to go into the international game around the 70s, the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s. The federal government sent out a letter to all pension fund managers from local government saying, you and local government have very odd and peculiar rules on how you should manage your pension funds. This includes not being able to trade derivatives, which can cost you billions of dollars a year. CalPERS, which has done excellent on the management of the California funds, has just gone into an international management pool under a different acronym, and we recommended that you participate with this group. And you will not be bothered by those pesky little rules of not being able to trade derivatives. So in about 1978-79, government started consolidating all of the local government pension funds to make the major market makers accounts of no equal. The first target was Mexico. Do you remember when the Mexican peso started devaluing and was going right through the floor and the Mexican government was crying uncle back in the 80s?
Sure.
Well, our government was the one that pushed the Mexican peso down through the floor. Once we got the Mexican government on their knees, we came in saying, well, we'll bail you out with $50 billion if you repay us back in crude oil at $10 a barrel. Crude oil is Mexico's number one export resource. So it didn't matter if crude went to 50, you know, they still had to pay him back at $10 a barrel. So the Mexican government bid. We pumped in $50 billion. And then another $30 billion, locking them into $80 billion of their crude oil. Simultaneously, at the same, the local government investment funds and federal investments came into Mexico, buying up all the different companies, bond issuances, loans. And being that they were funneled into Mexico, they were now converted into the peso at the bottom, you know, when the peso was extremely devalued. So for the next couple of years, as the peso rebounded, they made a phenomenal profit on the currency exchange rate, plus taking advantage of the cheap labor. If they made 160% for the year, that was a low figure. They were getting, you know, 240%, 300% returns on some of those investments.
Okay.
So they had sank in about $380 billion. Initially, and they probably turned that up into about $1.5 trillion after 4 years. Now, the next target was the Soviet bloc countries. Put the pressure on. We got Gorbachev to go Democratic, and I always put a note up on my website. You ever wonder why Gorbachev went Democratic? He looked at what the boys in the United States were doing and said, hell, they have more control than we do, and they're making 10 times as much. We laid out the blueprint for true communism under the guise of a free market capitalist system under veils of corporate ownership by government. So when Russia came in line with the game, we sank about probably $1.5 trillion to $2 trillion into the Soviet bloc countries.
Mm-hmm.
Those returns were, 35-45% per year, 65% was on the upper side, which is still pretty good. And then the Big Apple to be plucked, China. That was going into the year 2000. We sank in $1.5 trillion into China, and that's now currently valued at about $6 trillion. So that's how the game is played, and it's played with many managers following the same path and instruction, all subscribing to the same newsletter, and members of the same club negotiating behind closed doors and what the next takeover will be.
Trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars.
And we've just taken over two countries, targeting a third. First Afghanistan, now Iraq, and we're looking at Iran.
Indeed we are.
That's the fascist twist.
Indeed, quite a twist it is. Be right back with Walter Burian in just a couple minutes. Okay, back with Walter. All right, Walter. It's such an incredibly rarefied atmosphere up where the big money flows like water that few people really would, adequately be able to wrap their mind around it. It's so big. It's not an easy thing to do. You've got to be particularly astute and able to really push things far beyond what we're normally able to do in terms of thought and economics and all the rest of it. They people don't think past the daily Dow Jones quotes for the most part. It's amazing. But yeah, go ahead, please.
Well, let's anyone who may still be a little bit sleepy, let's wake them all up and give them a really strong motive to push into it. I'll tell them one thing right now, and I mean this is 100% accurate. There is no need for any taxation in this country whatsoever.
All right,
not
folks.
Not one nickel, dime, or penny.
That's not any kind of tax. That's not value-added tax. That's not national sales tax. That's not local tax. That's not local bond. Nothing.
Nothing. Zero. And hopefully we've caught everyone's attention here and listened very closely. The economy right now moves on a threefold principle: cash, taxation, and investment. Government has taken over the investment arena. If you look at three states, let's say Oregon, Washington, and Arizona, from 1990 to the year 2000, their own pension funds, the state pension fund, the primary big one for each state, was generating between 16 on the low side to the high side, 23%, 24% return per year. Compound those apples. They were bringing in $4-6 billion a year each on their pension fund management. Well, a pension fund is designed to pay a salary and benefits at retirement. And government has been expanding and overbloating their pension funds for the last 30 years.
Pension funds.
To create those pools of money to invest back and forth with each other to make their businesses happen and projects go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any city, county, school district, or state, you can draft what I call a tax retirement fund, whereby surplus revenues are deposited into. You do a little downsizing of the government, and that's put into it each year. And that fund is designed to meet the budgetary obligations each and every year. So instead of meeting a salary and benefits for employees at the end of the year, it meets the ongoing budgetary obligations each and every year. An actuary can sit down, look at any city, county, state, or school district, draft a prospectus showing how much money had to be deposited, what he recommended for downsizing or surplus funds to go into the account, the crossover mark where that fund's balance would equal the budgetary requirements, the crossover mark where they'd have enough of a surplus to phase out all taxation across the board.
That's right.
And the crossover mark where you could actually, under the current rates of return, which is doing excellent, get a dividend check back as a resident property owner on top of no taxation. And this is all basic fundamental application. And government has proven it'll work by their own exemplary record over 65 years of management of their own pension funds. This is nothing new. This is something just reapplied for a different purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be done today. And in fact, in most cases, due to the factor of governments hoarding as much money as they can get their hands on in all different vehicles with inside the local governments, you could implement the program by administrative action. And it can happen in 1 or 2 years where the government is self-sufficient and they can phase out taxation in their venue. Now, the only reason they wouldn't do it is because you have a lot of spoiled little yuppies out there. The example I like to give is if, you know, your listeners had a 12-year-old boy, they gave him carte blanche to write his own allowance check each week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he made $1,200 a week, within no time, he'd be cutting a check for $1,000 a week. If you told him you're going to cut him back to $700 a week, he'd yell, he'd holler, he'd kick, he'd scream, he'd use any logic available to him to say how a 12-year-old could not survive on $700.
Can't make it. Can't. No chance. Yeah.
There's no difference here. You just have bigger boys and sharper players, and they're ruthless. And they'll kill you. I mean, you know, you're watching people get their homes stolen. You're watching people shot down in the streets. They have 10 different cop programs airing on TV every night to condition you into watching yourself being thrown down on the street, handcuffed and hauled off.
They have that many.
Innocent until proven guilty. Well, there's down to about 3 now, but I counted one time about 4 years ago they had about 10.
I don't watch TV, but yeah, it's all desensitizing and conditioning. So you, when it happens to you, you have an idea
you're
kind of supposed to happen. Once in a while.
And I'll say this quite frankly, after review of the situation, seeing the non-disclosure that took place over the last 65 years, and looking at the money involved, you're dealing with organized crime. Period. If you read the RICO Act states that, and to qualify, it's extortion of money from the public for criminal enterprise. And based on what's going on and the non-disclosure and the scope of what's taking place, I would say it's a criminal enterprise and it qualifies under RICO. But government is going to do what they want to do until it stops. And the public has been masterfully entertained. You know, where the biggest decision sometimes for many is whether they're going to watch The Simpsons or South Park on TV at night or plan their next SUV trip.
Well,
the public has to get a little bit serious and, batten down the hatches and get ready for a little bit of a war.
All right.
Because
hold on.
Butting heads with some sharp players.
Indeed. Hold on, Walt. We'll come right back. This is all true, and it's almost sounding like science fiction. Again, it happens every time when Walter presents it, but I know it's accurate. I've seen enough, and hopefully you will all avail yourselves of the information that he has and confront some of your local folks about this incredible amount of wealth that is owned by all of us. All right? What amazes me, Walter, is how many people in local government really don't know about these things. They don't. They've heard rumors, something, but it's amazing how ignorant the masses are.
Not the upper echelon within government that's, controlling the management and the funds and so forth. Most government employees are just there trying to get a cushy job and a big pension at retirement, and they follow instructions. And the scope and size of the growth within government amazed me. I was looking at Washington State's CAFR back in 99.
Right.
And in the back of the book, there is a statistical section, and it listed the different work groups, employee base, and so forth, manufacturing, the whole nine yards. And I noticed right off the bang that one out of every four people in the workforce in the state of Washington is a government employee. One out of four, making an average of $30,100 a year at that time. And when I saw that ratio, I said to myself, I wonder what it is in Russia, what we'd consider a normal government employee. So I looked at Russia and Moscow. Moscow was 9-1, and the rest of Russia was about 11-1 ratio. So, as I mentioned, we wrote the blueprint for Russia to follow. but of communism, not the marketed democracy or republic that we've been fed for the last 30, 40, 50 years.
Right.
The bottom line is, you know, I remember back in school, I was taught that Russia was bad due to the fact that the government owned and controlled everything. I said, okay. Now that I'm older and had a chance to look and, you know, came across this material and found out about it, I now find out that in the United States, the government owns and controls more than Russia ever dreamed about. And they've done it through, you know, well-masked veils of corporate ownership. And keep in mind, when they own all the corporations, you know, they can make or break any company. So the corporate leaders, they can't come out against this or bring it forward because they could get smashed. The syndicated media, also owned and controlled by government through stock ownership or indirect gross income. When I looked at gross income from ABC, CBS, NBC, and so forth, and CNN, it ranged in direct contributions from city, county, state, and federal, you know, for different ads and commercials and programs. It was about 16% on the low side. High side was 34 to 36% of their gross income. But then I realized those Fortune 500 companies with multi-billion-dollar advertising budgets, when government owns the majority of the stock in that company, through proxy vote, they can direct where those multi-billion-dollar media funds are spent, whether it be ABC, CBS, or NBC. And I said, yep, that's definitive control. And they know it. So that's why you have the syndicated media towing the line and brown-nosing and doing exactly, reading exactly what the script is that they're presented with.
Mm-hmm.
Which most is propaganda at this point in time.
Sure.
It's also why you see all of this mindless garbage being pumped out to the public. You know, Janet Jackson's fell out of her shirt, and Simpson, and da-da-da.
Well, that's all. That's certainly all orchestrated, yeah.
Yeah, it's just to masterfully distract the entire population.
Total
with
distraction.
Garbage.
It's a People with magazine garbage. Culture. Trash, garbage.
And you won't find one peeper.
Anti-intellectualism.
Yeah, and you won't find one mention. Say, for example, the annual financial report, the comprehensive annual financial report. That's the holy grail of accounting. It makes a budget look insignificant in comparison. Not a peep, not a mention, not a word. Syndicated media, controlled education, both political parties, and they all know silence is golden. There's an article up on my front page. You'll see it linked. It says silence is golden. Recommend that your listeners read that one. And on corrective action, keep in mind there is no reason whatsoever that your local congressman, senator, should not put links to your local government CAFRs, the city, the county, the state,
they should.
School district,
absolutely,
on their news, on their news lines, websites, you know, any reports they put out. It should be actually right there at the top, prominent. And I thought about it, and I said, what's the best little campaign I can do right now to, you know, flip the elephant over on its back and get this out in the public? There's a link on my front page. Well, if they go to CAFR1.com/e-news, all in lower case, e-news.html, on that page, what I recommended was that a full campaign be done with local governments and syndicated media to require that their local government, their city, their county, their state, send out a letter to every registered voter suggesting that they carefully review their local government's comprehensive annual financial reports. And providing the links to where they can get the report, you know, by mailing in or so forth, or picking it up. And out of the, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, there's many a sharp cookies out there, CEOs, owners of businesses. I'm sure you have quite a few CEOs listening to your show right now.
There are a lot of them out there.
Their own
sure, and they understand
right.
Probably very well what you're talking about. A lot of them do.
And they're sharp cookies, and
sure.
If they start reviewing their local government comprehensive annual financial reports, they're going to be looking and say, what? When do they do this? How do they do this?
Because
can they do this?
They do this because they can.
Exactly, and they can do it because no one's looking. The silence is golden rule has been held and maintained for 65 years.
Sure.
Total blackout from the syndicated media on the mentioner to the peep. I did a search in the archives of the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times. They had, you know, put in for their keyword searches their archives of articles going back into the 30s. I found one hit for Comprehensive Annual Finance Reporter Kaffer. That was in the Chicago Tribune regarding a farmer, a rancher, referencing the statistical section of the report.
Right. What year was this?
When I did that search, it was 1999. Okay. Even on Google, as I mentioned, you'll get 3.5-4 million hits on Kaffer. And by the way, if you put in your city, you know, in quotes, and Kaffer after it, it'll probably pop up with a download site for your local government Kaffer, or state, or school district, or county. Okay, so it's out there. It's just they never mention it, never talk about it, never discuss it, so no one knows to look. 30 years ago, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report was sitting in the reference desk of your library. No one knew to look and ask for it.
Amazing.
Keep in mind, this is like walking into the Catholic Church and asking the priest for a copy of the Bible. And he looked back and just said, Bible? What's that? Or the Quran or the Torah. You know, they kept it unto themselves because of the money involved and what they were building up outside of the view of the public.
Yep. And it's about $60 trillion worth. That's all, just $60 trillion. Okay, hold on. Be back in just a few. We'll ask Walter what can possibly be done about this, if anything, in realistic terms. Next. Okay, now before all of you jump up and start writing to your alleged congressman or congresswoman or a senator expecting that something's going to happen, I mean, a word of pragmatic caution, Walter, and then what can people do that might generate some results?
Well, as I mentioned, if you go to my front page, camphor1.com, scroll down the page, you'll see one of my little favorite pictures there. It's a picture from the movie Braveheart. Mel Gibson swinging the sword. Right below that picture, you'll see a link to click on, which says, tell them what you think, basically. That'll go to a page which gives a specific recommendation to send a demand to your local government that they send out one letter exclusively recommending that the taxpaying public, the voters, registered voters, carefully review their local government comprehensive annual financial reports. There is no reason whatsoever, period, no excuse, for them not to comply, because keep in mind the Comprehensive Annual Finance Reports is the holy grail of accounting. It's what every taxpayer should be reviewing with a fine-tooth comb. So, for a denial from the local government to send out a simple letter to the registered voters exclusively, I use the word exclusively, you don't want them mixing in a whole bunch of different issues to diffuse and confuse what's being requested, exclusively asking the registered voters to carefully review their local government comprehensive annual finance reports. So they can put out links or where to get the reports for their city, their county, their state, their school district, their enterprise operation, all of the local government CAFRs in that venue. And the page, I put together a little comprehensive email list, which it's on the honor system now to be used exclusively for that purpose. I'm sure there's about 6,000 email addresses. I think you've taken a look at it, correct, Jeff?
Yep.
Very comprehensive. And put a pressure campaign on to get this happening in every local venue around the country. And keep in mind, if every single local venue refuses to send out a simple letter stating for the taxpaying public to review their annual financial report, think of the implications if they refuse. It definitively shows that the public has no control whatsoever of government. Mm-hmm. Government is 100% corrupt and acting in a criminal enterprise fashion.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, so that breaches the silence is golden rule, because when they send out that letter to the registered voters, there's, like I said, a lot of sharp cookies out there. When they start seeing what they never saw before, they're going to start digging, talking, discussing, and changing and modifying what's going on right now. They can't change and modify what's going on right now if they don't review and take a look. And a comprehensive annual financial report, I've read the statutes when they created it, was drafted to be understood by an eighth-grade reading level.
Hmm.
They realized a lot of congressmen and senators were going to be reading it, so they kept it down to the eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
But with that being done, number one, that starts breaching the wall of silence. Number two on the list, you go to, you'll see a web link which says 2003 CAFR reviews. Click on that link. It gives a definitive regarding the TRF fund. It gives a few examples of reviews done of different local governments. I spotlighted Arizona, a few cities and counties in Arizona, but also there are links to most of the states up there on CAFR reviews. They were completed by Gerald Platt, who was a 30-year auditor, federal auditor, commander of auditing, Air Force 15 years, and the last 15 years, eight southern western states, FBI trained, CIA trained. I briefed him back in 1999, 2000, on the composite totals and the takeover of the wealth by government. 3 months later, he called me back. He goes, Walter, I've reviewed what you told me, and what we have here in this country is 100% communism under the guise of a free market, a capitalist system. The government owns and controls everything. And I said, Gerald, you're an auditor. Why don't you get a website up and do some reviews of the CAFRs? I'm a commodity trading advisor, a CTA. And I'm not an accountant. You know, I know the money markets, the games, and the attitudes. And that's how I picked up on what was going on. Gerald was a federal auditor, commander of auditing. So he did specific reviews, line item reviews, pointing out potential surpluses throughout the entire book. I mean, a phenomenal job on his part. And keep in mind, we've been paying billions and billions of dollars to our politicians, to our governments, to our political parties, and no one... Not a peep, not a word, not one review of a CAFR by any local government in the entire country made available to the public. Think about that. Gerald Platt was the first one, period, in the country, in the history of the country, to openly give a review of the annual financial report for local governments. You know, that exemplifies the crimes that have been taking place through the exclusion of mention of the comprehensive annual financial report. Now, you'll notice the review to stop at 2003. Gerald died on his birthday in 2004 in July. And he's no longer able to do reviews for the public.
Right.
But keep in mind, they should have been done by every city council, made available to the public, every state, every school district. Not a peep, not a word, not a mention, because of the money involved and what they were doing behind the scenes on the takeover. And keep, as I mentioned on the New York State Retirement Fund CAFR, the list of investments, after you get through the stock listings, then you'll get down to the real estate holdings. You know, when you go shopping in your local mall, you say, oh, capitalism at work. Take a look on those lists. Mall A, Mall B, Townhome Complex C. The majority of those townhome complexes and malls that you're looking at as you walk through the city are owned by your city, your county, or your state.
Sure.
And most people don't have a clue because they never looked.
No.
Now, I'll bring up a basic point here. I've had, you know, thousands and thousands of callers, people running for office, congressmen, senators, governors, the whole nine yards, and the general public. Every one of us, since we're kids, you know, we first get some money and we know exactly how many... You know, to the last dollar, what's in our pocket. And we start investing when we're older. We know exactly what our investments are, and we know what the change is each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
As we get older, we keep in the back of our mind what our net worth is. It's there every day of our lives. We know what our cash balances, our investments, and our net worth. It rolls through our minds every single day. Well, every person that called me, except for one, he was running for president, individual Charles Collins from think it was Georgia, he had a pretty good idea. But everyone else, when it came down to their city, their school district, mm-hmm. their state, mm-hmm. whatever, didn't have a clue as to what the checking account balance was, what the investments were, or what the net worth was. Total void, total vacuum.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is something that rolls in our minds every single day regarding our own personal lives.
Right.
And to be able to create that void for an entire nation not to even think about it.
Nobody thinks about it. You're right, Walter. They just don't go
there. That's an amazing task. It's not done unintentionally. It's done intentionally. They don't mention. They don't talk about. They don't discuss. They don't direct the public in that direction whatsoever.
Yeah. It's equivalent to the Federal Reserve scam. People don't think about it. They don't go there. They just accept it for what they think it is, which it isn't. It's not federal, and it's not a reserve.
Yeah, and keep in mind what the Federal Reserve does is it basically monitors the money supply.
Correct.
Okay, and they're maintaining the value of the bartering tool or the dollar that's used to buy
mm-hmm.
goods and services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The value of the goods, property, and services in the United States is astronomical comparison to the total net worth of, you know, the Federal Reserve as far as the money supply is a grain of sand on the beach. The actual value of our land, our property, you know, our services is the beach. To give you an idea how much the public made, I can only use 1998's figures. It was 99's report. Federal Consolidated Financial Statement showed the total personal income of the entire population of the United States. This is a guy working at McDonald's, Bill Gates, total salaries, total investment income, the whole nine yards. It was $8.2 trillion for the year.
That was eight years ago.
Yeah, it was a gross income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the federal government showed tax income of $1.8 trillion. It didn't show the local government's tax income, but I sat there factoring out between the different CAFR reports to come up with a pretty close figure as to total taxation collected by local governments. I came up with about $1.6 trillion in total taxation collected. So that gave government, federal, and local about $3.4 trillion in tax income. And then it hit me over the head like a baseball bat. I said, I've been telling people for years only one-third of government's gross income is tax income. The majority of their income comes from return on investment funds, enterprise, and venture projects now.
So that's,
said, oh
see,
that,
that's how they're doing it, folks, when they have a very high non-compliance factor in the income tax ripoff. They're making their money, what they do have, from other investments.
And enterprise projects like tollways, roads,
sure,
bridges, sports arenas, financial authorities. And the non-tax income for government, local, and federal came out to being $5.1 trillion. So here they have $3.4 trillion in tax income, $5.1 trillion in non-tax income. That gave government gross income of $8.5 trillion, larger than the entire population of the country. And if you looked at the population's income net after taxation, took off the $3.6 trillion in taxation, that gave the public $4.8 trillion net after taxation and government $8.5.
Amazing.
Like I said, you now know why Gorbachev went Democratic.
As always, Walt, it's great to talk with you. Thanks for the wonderful work. Keep it up, and we'll keep supporting you as best we can.
Are we going to have some more time, or are we down to an hour?
We're down. We're done. You got an hour and a half tonight. We went fast.
Okay. I got a request for you.
Real quick.
Do you remember how you made a link of...
Listen, we're running out of time. Talk to me right after the program, Walt, and we'll get this taken care of. Okay, thanks for all of you for being here, and we'll be back in 21 hours.